to Refraction, the podcast from PRISM, Oregon State University's undergrad literary and art magazine. I'm Shoshana, your host for today, and I think my favorite non-Amazon source for books is probably Libby. I just love being able to get the free audiobooks from my library and just listen to them while I'm cleaning or playing with my pets or something like that. And I am here today with a friend.
Hi, everyone. I'm Bryn, and my favorite non-Amazon source for books is this bookstore in my hometown, which is Las Vegas. It's right around the strip, and it's so cool. It's called The Writer's Block, and it's a bookstore, a cafe, and a bird sanctuary.
Oh my gosh, I'm so jealous. Yeah, that sounds amazing.
It's wonderful. And they have a pet rabbit who sits in there.
Oh my goodness.
You can go and talk to him a little bit while you're browsing through books, and it's super cool.
Does the pet rabbit have a name?
I don't remember it. I think he does, but I don't remember it.
Oh, what a cutie. So today we are here to talk about Amazon and specifically Amazon's impact on the book industry. We're going to be talking first about the power of Amazon. Then we're going to talk about how it got so powerful and what enabled it to become such a dominant force in the literary world. Then we're going to have to talk about the ebook revolution, obviously. We're going to talk about Amazon's impact on the large book corporations, the big five other large publishing houses, as well as impact on local bookstores. So I think if you have been reading, been a writer, been involved in any way in the literary world in the past 5 years, it's hard to avoid the impact of Amazon on the literary world. In 2020, the House Judiciary Committee reported that Amazon controlled over half of the entire print book market and over 4/5 of the ebook market.
Wow, that's kind of scary.
I know, right? All the power in their hands. And you have to wonder, when they control such a large part of the market, how their very obviously money-centered goals and values will impact the industry, because they don't care about, you know, the quality of literature out there. They want to make money. That's not a secret.
Right.
And what does it mean for the entire book industry when almost all of it is controlled by someone that just wants to make money? And it's not just the creation of new print books or ebooks that Amazon controls. Amazon also owns Goodreads as well as subsidiaries like abooks.com. So they also control a large part of the book, like discussion, rating,
reviewing.
Yeah, reviewing everything online sphere, as well as some of the used book market.
Yeah. Those armchair reviewers on Goodreads scare
yes.
me so bad.
Definitely. It can have such a huge impact on whether or not a book or an author is successful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all being controlled by Amazon, which gives them a lot of data and a lot of data that other booksellers, this is going to go a little bit into our discussion about how Amazon got so powerful, but a lot of data that other booksellers just don't have access to.
Right.
In fact, moving on to how Amazon got so powerful, a big part of it is data. If you have a traditional book publisher, they know which books are selling and how fast they're selling. They know which authors are pretty popular. But after they sell you a book, that's pretty much where their data ends. And if you're paying with cash or if you're paying with different credit cards, there's pretty much no way for them to know which person is buying which book. So they can collect data, but their data is limited. But especially given that Amazon owns Audible and obviously Kindle, it gives Amazon access to data that any other book publisher could only dream of. They know how fast people read. They know what parts of books people read through quickly and which ones they slow down. They know which words we search up. They know if people finish a book or if they just stop halfway through. And they know details about our reading habits that are just impossible in a purely print book industry, especially when you pair it with Goodreads. So they have a huge leg up over competition that, say, Barnes & Noble's or your local bookseller just simply wouldn't have.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I'm going to admit I do use Goodreads because I like to see what my friends are reading. And I like to, you know, give them a little like when they when I see they've shelved a book that I have loved before. As a reader and as a writer, it's not super fun to think that all that data is could possibly one day in my future be used against me somehow.
Definitely. And it's hard because Amazon is just so ubiquitous. It really, I mean, I admit I have a Kindle because I like reading ebooks. And it's really hard to read ebooks without interacting at least in some way with Amazon and giving them that data. That's the problem when they're close to being a monopoly, is that the products that they're offering are quite good. There's just no place to find them except for them.
Yeah.
And aside from Amazon's huge access to data, Amazon can also beat out its competition by its tax dodging. I mean, we've all heard about how low Amazon's prices are and how they can easily undercut competition, mm-hmm. which makes sense when you hear about how little Jeff Bezos and Amazon as a whole pays on taxes, which is a luxury or a crime, I guess, that your local bookseller just doesn't have access to.
Yeah, I can tell you from the college student perspective that if there's a book I want to read or a book I have to read for a class mm-hmm. or something, and, you know, maybe the bookstore doesn't have it, the Beaver store doesn't have it, because mm-hmm. that's going on in one of my classes right now. Do I have time every day to walk down to the book bin and buy a $20 version of a book I can order for less than 10 on Amazon?
Definitely. Yeah, and it's so hard because, I mean, obviously books are expensive. And it makes sense that consumers would want or need to get the cheapest option. But it is important to remember that they're cheap because our taxes are getting cut. Like, yeah. we are paying for the extra, like, we are paying that extra price.
Absolutely.
We're just paying for it in our worst schools, or more realistically, slightly less money going to the military. But that's another discussion.
Yeah. And I morally would much rather walk down to the book bin and mm-hmm. buy a book from them, especially so I can pet the cat.
Obviously. Very important.
Yeah, but it's just really hard to make other decisions when, you know, all of our influences are telling us this is the best option. It's the Definitely. Cheapest option. It's the quickest option. Mm-hmm. And who's it really going to hurt?
Right. Definitely. And I mean, I guess this is going to sound a little cliche. It is so easy to focus on, you know, the individuals here. But this really is a problem of a monopoly and of a giant corporation and the richest person in the world dodging taxes, which probably shouldn't be on the consumers too.
Exactly.
Yes, definitely. Like, it shouldn't be on our shoulders to stop the rich people in the world from dodging taxes. And that's not the only vaguely kind of illegal loophole-y thing Amazon's doing in order to get their book prices down. They're also well known to intentionally sell books at a loss in order to get competitors out of business. Yeah, it's called competitive pricing. And it's something that's only possible if you're a large corporation with a lot of money you can spend. You sell books at a loss, or sell whatever product at a loss, which forces your competitors out of business. And then once they're out of business, you can jack the prices back up. Amazon has so much money that they're able to do that, and for a while we can benefit, but it comes at the cost of the well-being of our local bookstores, and in the long term, probably our wallets after they do jack those prices back up. And this is just one part of Amazon's success, but another part of Amazon's success is the ebook revolution. Now, I do want to start off by saying that ebooks have not done what everyone expected them to do, which is replace the print book. Most book sales are still going to print books. People like print books.
I'm one of those people. Mm-hmm. I find it hard to read ebooks, honestly.
Yeah, there's something that feels very unnatural about mm-hmm. it.
I just like looking at the, see how far I'm getting.
Yes.
On like how much the spine is curving
when it's I'm so reading. Satisfying. But ebooks are a force to be reckoned with in more ways than one. It's not just that we as consumers have a new way to read books now, but it's also changed the publishing world. Self-publishing has become easier than ever, especially with the advent of print-on-demand bookselling, where you don't have to like figure out how many books are going to sell beforehand and place a large order with a publisher first, but you can, with Amazon, print as orders come in. This has led to a huge increase in self-publishing, with almost half of books being published self-published now, which makes it a lot more difficult for any one book to get attention. When you have a market that's just being flooded with self-published books, which is not inherently a bad thing, you do suddenly have a lot more competition, which means that each book has to fight a lot harder to get readers.
Definitely.
I think I heard a statistic that the average book now only sells 200 copies in their first year. And they only sell about 1,000 overall. And keep in mind, that's the average. Books like The Hunger Games or The Bible or Harry Potter, these are also dragging that average up. So most books probably would be selling a lot fewer copies. Another way that Amazon is changing the landscape of book publishing is through its impact on other corporations. Because Amazon makes up such a huge book market, large corporations, even the big five, have to bend to Amazon's will to a certain degree. There was a really big scandal in 2014 when Amazon came into conflict with book publisher Hachette.
Mm.
Amazon began essentially playing dirty and taking steps on their website to make it harder for Hachette to sell books. For example, they could remove the buy button for when people try to buy books from Hachette.
What?
Delaying shipping, claiming titles are out of stock when they aren't, etc.
Wow.
And in the case of Hatchet, it lost almost one-fifth of all of their U.S. sales when that happened, which not only hurt Hatchet, but also hurt their authors. And because Amazon makes up such a huge part of the market, books writers also have to consider what Amazon wants in terms of titles and in terms of content, which is, of course, more money, more book sales, et cetera, et cetera. There's a quote from the New Yorker. They had an article on this, and their byline was, "In the new literary landscape, readers are customers, writers are service providers, and books are expected to offer instant gratification," which I think really summarizes the impact that Amazon can have on this landscape, and in particular, what happens when a pretty soulless, very objective, very emotionless company takes over the book-selling market.
Yeah.
And before we wrap up, we have to talk about Amazon's impact on local bookstores. And this is where the conversation gets kind of depressing. I think it's important to start off by saying that the landscape of bookstores is probably different than you imagine. So about 90% of the book sales that bookstores make are for trade books and textbooks. And the remaining 10%, while it does include what we kind of think of like, you know, I don't know, YA novels and just like reading for fun, it also might include things like the Bible, which is the best-selling book in the world, or other sort of like professional books. Mm-hmm. So bookstores do tend to operate on a very slim margin, and they don't tend to make most of their money from, you know, supporting small local authors. Most of their money does come from textbooks. And Amazon, which offers cheaper textbooks, shorter shipping times, et cetera, has had a huge impact on bookstores. From 1998 to 2019, the number of bookstores in the United States dropped by almost exactly half. Now, their bookstore sales did increase over that time, although inflation probably makes up a large part of that. And bookstore sales have been dropping since about the mid-2000s.
Yeah, that's really sad. I love bookstores. I love going to bookstores. And I know a lot of people really just love the experience of walking into a bookstore and browsing the aisles, whether it's used books or new books or whatever. I just went to a massive book sale the other day from the Corvallis Library, the Friends of the Library sale.
Oh my gosh, that was so nice.
It was amazing. And I just love stuff like that. So yeah, head on down to Grassroots Music and Books and head on down to the Book Bin or any other local bookstore that you're a fan of and give them some love.
Definitely. And of course, when it comes to voting, when it comes to kind of large scale politics, do keep in mind, crackdowns on anti-competitive behavior, crackdowns on monopoly, because as important as it is to shop local, give some love to local bookstores, and as much of a real impact that can have, not on weakening Amazon's power, but on strengthening our local bookstores, because like the $14 you didn't give to Amazon might not affect them, but the $20 you did give to your local bookstore will definitely help them.
Absolutely.
We also do need to be making larger changes because Amazon is just too powerful for us to, you know, take down in a grass, or at least help lessen their power in a grassroots way.
And we didn't even get into the whole Goodreads discussion very much today.
Yes.
That's a whole other story.
Mm-hmm. And there is a blog post
absolutely
on the Prism website
and
about
you can
that.
Go ahead and read that when it comes to, how mass reviews of books affect how well an author does in their career. So.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And also isn't discussing even, you know, Amazon's own imprints. Amazon has their own publishing domain, like they have their own publishing houses. In many ways, they have their own publishing imprints that can take a book from a concept to a finished product on a bookshelf, Amazon's virtual bookshelf, with very little collaboration with other companies. And in fact, Amazon would, if it was a publishing house, would be as big as one of the big five. So if you want to learn more about other ways that Amazon is affecting the book industry, definitely head over to the Prism blog page and look for the piece about Kate Corinne's scandal and Goodreads more largely. And beyond that, just remember to give your local bookstores some love and fight against anti-competitive behavior in the ballot box. The show was made by volunteers for Prism, and if you or someone you know is interested in Prism or in volunteering for Prism, you can visit Prism's website at prism.orangemedianetwork.com. That's prism.orangemedianetwork.com. That is all for this episode of Refraction. Thank you all so much for listening today, and see you next time.